Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now let's read it together, please. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Father, thank you for the word of God, and thank you for the opportunity we have and the ability we have to be here today to hear it preached. There's some that would love to be here today but can't. So, Father, I pray that we would not take lightly the opportunity we have today. Speak to our hearts. Teach us, instruct us, exhort us, convict us if necessary for what our pastor will come and preach to us about. Anoint Pastor Johnson with thy Holy Spirit power for this task. Use him. And we ask that if there's somebody in this room that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that today, before they leave this room, they would trust him as their Savior. In Christ's name I pray, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, we'll ask again that you make sure your electronic devices are turned off or to vibrate, unless, of course, you're using that for your Bible this morning. But help us there, please. How many of you could quote Romans 8:28 from memory? Raise your hand. I don't know if a Sunday goes by, I don't some way, somehow, some means, some manner, come to this verse. Have you ever quoted Romans 8:28 and you really had a hard time with that word good? And we know that all things work together for, what is it now? Have you ever quoted Romans 8:28 and thought, I don't see any good in that? What you are living. Or maybe what someone else was going through and you were going through it with them. And you thought to yourself, now how could that possibly be good? And we know that all things work together for good. The word good is very simple to understand what it means. It means what's beneficial, what's best, good. Have you ever had somebody recommend a restaurant to you? And they say, oh, you got to try this. The food is so good. And you went there, and while you're eating it, you thought, I am never going to ask them again or go to a restaurant again that they ever recommend. Years ago, someone told us about a Mexican food restaurant here in town, and I went there, and my wife and I went there, and we had lunch. I had a nacho craving that day, so I had nachos. Now, you can't really mess nachos up. You can, but you really can't. And it was so bad, it tasted like, to this day, I call them skunk nachos, because it tasted like you're eating a skunk. And I've never eaten a skunk before. I was going by the aroma. And every time, the restaurant's still open, I don't know how it is. And every time we drive by it, I point at it and I tell my wife, there's the skunk nacho place, honey. And I've had people say, oh, you got to try this place. The food is fantastic. Now, I am not a picky eater, as you can tell. I'm not. I'm really not. I'm okay with most any kind of food. But that was nasty. But you see, now look at me. Good to me was not the same as good to them. Now listen to me. It's a very simple message this morning. All things work together for good. What's beneficial, what's best to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now we know from Romans 8:28, we know to take that verse and cut it right in half. All things work together for good. That's God's part of that verse. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, that's our part of that verse. Often we are reminded that we do not need to get on God's side of Romans 8:28, where we feel like we've got to make everything work together for good. It doesn't have to be good, or it's not good. If it's not good to me, it's not good, and that's just the way it is. You get on God's side of Romans 8:28, and you're never going to understand that verse. And it won't make sense in all the situations of your life. But ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Romans 8:28 is in God's Word. And what it says is, and we know that all things work together for good. Let's talk about the word good this morning in Romans 8:28. It's very important to understand what it means and get it clearly in our minds, the good of Romans 8:28. First of all, who determines what is good? Is it how it turns out? If it turns out the way I want it, then it's good. If it goes the way other people want it, then it's good. That's how you wind up eating skunk nachos. Because somebody said it was good, and it was good to them. And you think, they need a taste bud transplant. This is nasty. It's horrible. How could they eat this stuff? But it was sure good to them. And you know what's embarrassing? And then, of course, they ask you, did you try the place? And you said, yes. And they go, wasn't it good? And you don't want to lie to them and say, no, I ate skunk nachos in that nasty, stinking place that you sent me to. No, you don't want to say that. So there's one safe answer to all this kind of stuff. Someone asks you, how do you like my hairdo or my clothes or whatever? Here's a safe answer. Of all the restaurants I ever ate in, that's one of them. Now that's pretty safe. You don't look at him and say, I'm never asking you again, or go to a restaurant you ever recommend to me again the rest of my life. Because is it good? Now listen to me. So the question has to be answered. So who determines what good is in Romans 8:28? Is it me? Is it how it turns out? If it turns out the way Mike Johnson wants, then it's good. Is that it? If it turns out the way we prayed about it, and we prayed and said, dear Lord, please do this, and he does, then it's good. If he doesn't, that's not good then, right? That's how it works. See, here it's very simple this morning, but please hear me. I'll tell you who determines the good of Romans 8:28. The God who wrote the verse, that's the one who determines that. Now, he knows what's good. He is a good God, and he knows what is good. See, God knows what's beneficial and what's best, and God can do it from the purity of his holiness. And God can also determine what is good based on the sovereignty of his will and ability. God knows how everything will turn out. That's how we know all things work together. That means they come together and they work with each other, and all the things, good, bad, better, bitter, sweet, right, wrong, all of it. God can take all of that and make it work out. But that's God's side of that verse. Remember that. And it's God who determines whether it's good or not. Is it good for a man to sit in the ashes with 10 fresh graves of his children all dead, everything he owns gone, his health destroyed, his wife turns against him? Is that all good? Was that good for Job when he lost it all in one day and everything was gone and his kids were all destroyed in one day? Everything was gone. Was it good? Does it look good to you? Go to the cross and see Jesus dying on the cross for our sins and the sins of all mankind, and the punishment and the penalty and the payment of that sin is heaped upon our Savior. Stripped naked, beat like an animal, nailed to a rugged cross as a criminal. The perfect, sinless Son of God. Does it look good when they go by and they spit on him? Does it look good when Christ is dying on the cross for sins? Does that look good to you? But don't you understand, it all works together for the good that God determines. So when someone looks at you and says, that wasn't good, God should not have allowed that to happen, you just need to encourage and be kind about it. But just tell them, you're getting on God's side of Romans 8:28. He determines whether it's good or not. That's God's job. Quit trying to be God. Don't tell them that. Don't be unkind to them. Tell yourself that one. You want to be tough on somebody? Be tough on yourself. There's time Mike Johnson has had to remind Mike Johnson to stop acting like God and let God be God. It doesn't have to be good. So it can still be good in a cemetery. It can still be good in a hospital. It can still be good in a doctor's office with bad report. It can still be good when a job is gone. It can still be good when there's not enough money. There'll still be good, and it can all be good because God determines what's good. Doesn't have to make sense to me. It doesn't have to make sense to me to be right. But God is the one who wrote Romans 8:28, and God's integrity is behind this thing, and God will back up that verse, and God will make sure that all things work together for good, but it will be good by his design. and by what God determines. And ladies and gentlemen, haven't we figured it out? What I like about this verse here is it starts with, and we know. Now, how do we know this? Because if you give him time, he does seem to work things out for good. And even if it doesn't work out the way I think it is, somehow good does still come of this. So to understand the good of Romans 8:28, we need to understand who determines what is good. Number two, we need to understand whose good it's for. This good of Romans 8:28, who is that for anyhow? Is it for me? Is it for others? Is it for everybody's good? The answer to that is yes. It is my it's God's best for me. You say, not my situation, Pastor Johnson, then you don't know God. Because it is God's best for me. We sang it this morning just before, and I thought, wow, the Lord's in this thing. Brother Matt always chooses the hymns that we sing. We sang, "It Is Well With My Soul." Now, if you know the story behind "It Is Well With My Soul," it's an unbelievable story of a man's loss and suffering. Spafford had his family had sailed to England after the great Chicago fire, and Mrs. O'Leary's cow kicked over the lantern, burnt half, 2/3 of the city of Chicago down. He lost everything he owned in that fire, 1800s. Went to New York to try to recoup and regain some of what he had lost. Got a little bit on his feet again, lost it all again. Finally, with everything gone, his only hope is to send his family back to England where his wife's people were to help get them on their feet while he tries to figure something out. He's practically homeless. And his wife and children sail to England and the ship sinks in a storm and all of his children drown. His wife survives. She gets to England, sends back a telegraph, says, "Saved alive, saved alone. All the children are dead." Spafford gets on the ship and sails to England to join his wife for their grief. Now, this is the 1800s. Let's not jump on a plane, get there in 10 minutes stuff. He's sailing to England on a ship, and when he gets to the place close to where the storm took place, he asks the captain, "Could you give me an approximation? Let me know, I don't care what time of day or night it is, when we get close to where the ship went down." And the captain came to him in the middle of the night. He stood on the railing in the middle of the night, and God gave him, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." Did you know something? You and I wouldn't have that hymn if that didn't happen to him. So is that good? Is it? So whose good is this for? Our problem with the stuff that happens in our lives is we look at it and all we can see is how it affects us at the moment. And that's understandable. You're going through something deep, tragedy, sorrow, loss, heartbreak, difficulty. That's all we can see. But that's the problem with us determining whether it's good or not. That's all we can see. And please don't misunderstand. I'm not rebuking you over it. I've been there myself. When the valley is deep, that's all you can see. But then God will determine whether it's good or not, and God will determine whose good it is for. And we know that all things work together for good. There's great books on the stories behind the hymns. You should get one and read it sometime. I guarantee you won't find any of this contemporary junk in there. All that 7-Eleven stuff where you say the same seven words 11 times over. "Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you, Lord." Verse 2. "Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you, Lord." Verse 3. "Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you." Then they got to put it up on its screen with a bouncy ball and a deer run across the middle. I know what verse 4 is. You don't even have to put it up there. So shallow. It's all about feelings and emotions and all this kind of junk. No, you give me "It as well with my soul." Give me "Amazing Grace" written by an old slave ship captain who was on his way to hell and the grace of God covered him and he came to Christ. "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." It's unbelievable. That's just hymns, dear people. Do you understand a lot of what God used in inspiration when these people penned things in the Bible that helped us in our lives? Paul in Philippians in prison, writing it, all things work together for good. I mean, and in Romans, to the Roman Christians, all things work together for good. In Philippians, he's writing to them saying, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Don't you think it was good for him sitting in that prison with no hope of life and knowing nothing good? Yes, good came out of that. But see, it didn't look good at the moment. Whose good is this for? This good of Romans 8:28. See, the God who determines what's good will determine it'll be good for you. It'll be good for everybody in your life around you. And it'll be good for others who come along behind you. So all things do work together for good. The good of Romans 8:28 is understood. When is this good? When we answer the question, when is this good going to be good? That's what I like to know. When? The good. This beneficial, best stuff that you say comes out of this. When? Now, first of all, can I say something? When our attitude asks questions to God like that and about God, what God does like that, I assure you, you're never going to find good out of anything. Because it's still in your thinking. You're still one of them control freak people that it has to be good according to your terms or it's not ever going to be good and you're never going to explain. Well, then forget it. It's like when people ask you a question and they really don't want the answer. When is this going to be good then? In my time? Right now. Explain it to me right now how this could possibly be good. How is this good? 5 years ago, October 1st, our granddaughter went to heaven. They're at Mercy Hospital. There didn't seem to be any good out of this. I had to go out to the car and get something to come back up to the room. And it's in the maternity wing there at the hospital with all the balloons and the grandmas and grandpas and the aunts and uncles and everybody and all the stuff that goes on. It's difficult to go to that section of the hospital when you have a dead baby in there in their mother's arms. I had to go out to the car and get something, and after she was born and had passed in birth, I went out to the car to get something. Coming back into the hospital, a young couple were coming out of that hospital. They couldn't have been 16 years old. If they were 16, I'd be shocked. Mom in the wheelchair carrying a big red-faced little baby. Dad with his hat on backwards, pants hanging down with his britches, stinking underwear hanging out, tatted up like a stinking illustrated man, smoking on a cigarette, pushing it out. They were arguing on the way out of the hospital. Now here's some kids with a baby. There's our kids up there with a dead one. I passed them and Satan just stuck a dagger in my heart. And I thought, now come on, this is good. This is good. This is good. I said, no, Lord, I work for you, I love you, and I'll do anything you tell me to do. But I don't need my face rubbed into stuff like this now. It's not right. And I'd take a few minutes to walk the stairs up to that maternity ward just to get along with God for a minute and get some things, my attitude straightened out. So when is this good? Huh? When? All things work together for good. When? That's what I'd like to know. No. What we need to understand is in God's time and in God's way, all things work together for good. I cannot tell you how many times since then, our daughter and her husband, Beth and Mark here, and ourselves have been able to help people with the very same situation. See, it didn't look good then. It looks good now. Say, well, you still have a granddaughter who died. Yes, I understand that. Look at me. But now it's good. So you have to understand something, dear people. Sometimes when things are not good in the moment, they will become good in time. So is it really true? Look at me. Is it really true he's a loving Heavenly Father? Is that true? Is it true that he will never leave us or forsake us? Is it true that God is not cruel and just hurts his children just to hurt his children? Is it true? It's not. That's not true, is it? I don't know who wrote the song, but it's a good song, and it's simply entitled, In God's Will, In God's Way, and In God's Time. That's why it says to wait on the Lord, and then you renew your strength, to mount up with wings as eagles, to run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. But there's that waiting period, time of things, that has to take place. That's why Ecclesiastes says he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Not mine, in his time. Not in the moment, not in the minute, maybe never. I don't know. There's times, me and I get answers to a lot of things in this life. And then when we get to heaven, we're not going to want to know anyway because we're in heaven. Who gives a flip about what happened in this stinking life once we get to heaven? No one is going to walk around heaven asking God questions about this life. Forget it. We're in heaven. Some of you folks, you hope you go to heaven with that list so you can just pull out the list and start asking God all your questions on your list. You're not going to have any list. By the time you're done answering questions from God, you're not going to want to ask him anything anyway. Truth of the matter is, it's just the way it works. It is good in his time. It is good in his way. It is good in his will. It is good. All things work together for good. One more question about this good in Romans 8:28, and that's this. When is this good never good? When is this good of Romans 8:28? When is it never good? When we try to hide behind Romans 8:28 when we have sin in our lives. Romans 8:28 will not cover sin. I'm going to live the way I want, do what I want. Let me see God make that turn out for good. He won't. You'll be dealt with as a person with sin in your life. So don't try to hide behind Romans 8:28 when I'm not going to do right. I don't want to live right. I don't want to do right. And then when something happens really bad, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say all things work together for good and see somebody prove that one. By the way, please don't do that. Just be honest and step up and say, you know what my problem is? I just didn't want to do right. This has got nothing to do with Romans 8:28. This is the fact that I've got sin in my life and I've chosen to do wrong. Let's just be honest about it. That would be a wonderful thing, don't you think? And by the way, God won't get blamed for stuff that's not his fault. Romans 8:28 will not cover sin. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Do you know when the good never comes of Romans 8:28? Number two, when I don't do my part of this verse. Remember there's two parts to it. God's part, all things work together for good. God's part. Maybe just take your Bible like me and anybody else who's a heathen and writes in their Bible. Just strike a line right there. Boom. Write God's part. Out of the side of that line, write my part. Because to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, that's my part. Say, well, Pastor Johnson, I'll tell you what, it's not good. And I can tell you why it's not good, because it didn't go the way I thought it should go. This is not just. This is not fair. This is not right. That doesn't sound like a person who loves God. Does that sound like somebody who loves God? Huh? Look here. It's not wrong to question what God does. It's wrong to demand an answer and feel like you have a right to. That's the problem. I've asked God why. I've done it. There have been times in my life and things that happened in my own personal life, things that happened in our family, things that happened to people that I watched them and I thought to myself, now come on, Lord, that one doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get the good of this one, God. Could you help me with this, please? There have been times when I've been struck by things and in the moment my flesh reacted. And I thought, this is just not right and this is not fair. Not the way it ought to be, God. But I say unto you this morning, as sad a Christian as I am for even making that statement, that doesn't stay in my heart for more longer than I say it. Because in the next moment, I say, but God, I love you. I want to do the right thing here. And somewhere down the road, you'll make sense out of all this, I'm sure. But you don't even have to do that, because you know why, God? Because I love you. We got to do that part for the verse to work. If you don't do that part, the verse won't work. You'll never see the good. It won't happen. You'll struggle with this thing. You'll go through the rest of your life. You'll be like a lot of people today who I think are bitter at God because of things that have happened in their life, because they won't accept it came from the hand of God or what the good could possibly be that comes of this. When he said all things work together for good, he means the mistakes that God had no part of, that people did that they shouldn't have done. He can even take that and make good come out of that. That's amazing. God is amazing, ladies and gentlemen. It is incredible what God can do. God can do what no one else can do. He can take the faults and the failures and the failings of other people, and he can make good of that too. If you love him. If you love him. And love doesn't demand answers. Love doesn't require that you get what you want. Love doesn't turn your back on anybody. Love never fails, the Bible says. Charity never faileth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's our love for God too, you know. And then you live in his purpose. That means to those that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That simply means I live in his will. Yeah, well, God's will got me knocked around, Pastor Johnson. Yeah, well, like the devil never mistreated you. Huh? Like the world never kicked you in the teeth. Like you have never had problems in other areas of your life. Well, it shouldn't be like that with God. Well, he's not kicking you in your teeth, and he's not abusing you, and he's not taking advantage of you. It's just part of the plan. Well, come on now, look here. Every parent has had times where you had to look at your children and hope they could understand that what you were doing was a part of the plan you had for their life, even when they don't understand it. Yes? And that's with us who have, those of us who have plans that have flaws and failures in them. We're talking about the Heavenly Father. He doesn't make a mistake. I love that little plaque. I got to get one of these days. It says two rules in this business. Rule number one, the boss is always right. Rule number two, never forget rule number one. I don't want one for my office. I want one for my study. But I'm going to put the Lord is always right. Rule number two, never forget rule number one. It's just how it works now. In his will, his plan, are things that we would never ask for, seek, or want, but somehow or another, he knows it's for the good. And all things work together for good. Now, to them that love God, to them are the called according to his purpose. Love does resolve a lot of things in life, doesn't it? Fixes a lot of things between a husband and a wife. Because you love each other. You come to an understanding, you resolve your issues, you get it right. You know why? Because you love each other. Right? Parents and their children, children and their parents, friends, Christians, all that stuff. Love has a way of covering a lot of things. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. Well, we don't have to cover any sin with God because God doesn't sin. And God doesn't do anything wrong. But love sure covers a lot of things we don't understand. And then, just being in his will, doing what he told you to do. It's amazing how that, God says, okay, there's one of my children and they love me. And they're going to stay in the will of God. Let's make this thing work together for good now. And he does. And he has. And he will. And we know that all things work together for good. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.